Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Tommy Mello. Tommy, are you ready to do this?
Let's do this, George.
Let's go. Welcome. Tommy is the founder of A1 Garage Doors. It's a $50 million plus home services business with over 360 employees in over 17 states. He's a regular contributor to Inc., Entrepreneur, and other business publications on the topic of entrepreneurship and small business. He is the author of Home Services Millionaire. Again, Tommy, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I don't know. It's hard to sum it up in a quick sentence, but I started A1 Garage Door Service in 2006, and it's a fast growing company. We're pretty big here in Arizona. I'm from Michigan. We expanded into Michigan, and my sister lives in Wisconsin. We went there. But I'm obsessed with business, and I've made every mistake in the book. The reason you should listen to me is because I've made so many mistakes. I don't want you to make the same mistakes. And, you name it, I've done it. I've recruited, handled all the marketing. I've worked in the warehouse. I was the guy fixing garage doors for a long time. Also got a master's degree in business from University of Arizona. So Eller. I realized in my master's program, it really wasn't about the knowledge I gained. It was more about meeting people and learning how to effectively speak to people and build a nice little group of people, trusted advisors around me, really learned how to get to know people. I hung out at a table that all we talked about was search engine optimization and pay-per-click on Google. And that's what really helped the business get going is marketing. And like I talked about earlier, George, is I look at it now as marketing is really a piece of recruiting. And we'll get into that here in a little bit.
Nice. I appreciate that very much. So you started the company in 2006?
Yes, sir.
And when did you do your MBA?
I finished school in 2012.
Okay. So you had some pretty practical business experience under your belt.
Yeah. You know, it was the first few years were not very, very successful, to say the least. In 2010, me and my partner kind of decided to go part ways with one another. And that was for the best. He's doing really well in Montana now. My mom and stepdad moved out here from Michigan to Phoenix, and they helped me out a lot while I was getting my master's. And I'd say it really got ignited, and kind of a catalyst year was 2014. I had what I call my integrator come on board, and he helped do the things that I wasn't good at. And lots of things have happened. Manuals, we created SOPs, KPIs, the right CRM. I know these acronyms probably don't mean much to people, but customer relationship management system and key performance indicators, and really learn how to build a manual and make sure when someone started, they knew what success looked like and how they would be graded. Al Levy from the 7 Power Contractor taught us a lot about that. And we've hired a lot of coaches, a lot of mentors. We go see different successful businesses a few times a year. I'm always out of town checking out big companies and kind of emulating what they do well. And I talk to a lot of businesses and tell them, it starts with an org chart. It starts with a depth chart. It starts with get your marketing, figure out what it's going to look like. A big thing that we talk about is brand, like having the right brand, the right website that matches your trucks, that matches your yard signs, that matches your stickers, that matches your mailers. And a lot of people, they miss that piece and their website looks like crap, and their stickers look different than their wraps. It looks different than their billboards. And there's no symbiotic relationship there.
Nice. So that's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. I know. Yeah.
Are you an EOS company? You mentioned integrated.
Yeah, we've done quite a bit with EOS. I had Gino Wickman on the podcast, my podcast actually, Home Service Expert. Gino's a great guy. I like the EOS process, but we've done a little bit of EOS. It's not something we practice every month, but we've taken things out of that. And I'd say my core competencies are marketing and sales. That's what I do. I've got a whole financial team. We study a lot of things, a lot of different coaches.
Nice. So when you're saying that you go and you check out or you're visiting other businesses, is that because you have a reciprocal kind of a relationship where you're inviting people to come check out your company too? Because I'm sure that you're very busy, and so that takes you time to leave, and then your people you're talking with are kind enough to give you their time.
You know, I've read a lot of books. I've met a lot of these guys on the podcast, and typically I'll just say, hey, man, the CEO of another company, can I come by your business, hang out a little bit with your CMO, the chief marketing officer, want to talk to the CFO, want to see how you guys train people, talk a lot about marketing, talk about recruiting and training, understand where their biggest financial mistakes are. And a lot of times I'll make that into a podcast. And it's a pretty cool thing because I can ask any questions I want. And, you know, this year we're budgeting $151 million is our budget. That's what our goal is. That it does not include consolidation of other companies. So we're trying to buy some competitors out as well. So I'll come up and I got to tell you, when you're on the plane getting out of town to go to a place like this, it's incredible the questions you come up with, and just to walk in there and see a way that they do things. And a lot of times it's air conditioning companies. I've been to a lot of roofing companies, plumbing companies. One of the ones I want to go to next is in Tulsa. I want to go to Quick Trip, to their corporate office, because when you walk into Quick Trip, it's amazing how everything, it's so coordinated. Everybody's working, and it's the recruiting process. They got two registers, they're power washing outside. And I've always been impressed. So I just love to see where are their successes and where could I maybe skip a step in the process to not make those mistakes.
Nice. I appreciate that. So do you have a favorite question or a couple of questions that you always ask?
Well, it really depends on the company. Typically, I find out, I love marketing so much because, for example, I'm in this thing called the 100 Million Mastermind. I pay $100,000 a year to go to three events. And there's this gal I met named Amanda Tress. And she went from a million to 65 million in 1 or 2 years. And it was all through what they call micro influencers. And so just that conversation with her spawned a whole new marketing campaign we're working on for influencer marketing. When you learn what influencer marketing or affiliate marketing is, you just, and hers is all about diet and supplements. And, but she kind of coined it into a way that is more about saving lives and diabetes and stopping cancer for the food you eat and whatnot. And it's amazing to see. It's hard to decide what company you're going to talk to about what. Like sometimes companies are known for their training. Sometimes companies are known for their culture. So going into different companies, I typically want one main thing when I go there to talk to one main person about different things, but there's nothing I won't look at. I went to a company that does about 600 million called Service Champions in Southern California. And it was amazing. I got obsessed with the way they do dispatching. And they got three monitors up and they were just kicking butt. So I got to ask them a lot of questions on that.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So it sounds like you've got and have worked really hard to create great systems and processes and platforms and all that good stuff. And it strikes me that probably a lot of companies lack in those areas. And then they're curious as to why they're not having success with recruiting. And I know how important recruiting is to any organization, but I also know that it's so challenging right now. How has that been going for you?
It's great. I got to tell you, there's a lot of things that go into recruiting. Number one is people say, what can you do for me? A lot of times people expect number one, you got to offer more than the other guys, right? You got to have benefits. You got to have PTO. You got to have a new truck for them at home service at least. But here's what's crazy. A lot of people just don't go to job boards like Career Builder and Indeed and Monster and LinkedIn and Glassdoor. And I could keep going. There's a million of them. ZipRecruiter. But they're looking for, they're finding a job passively through a friend or on Facebook or on Instagram. And, you know, my avatar is typically it's a male technician that's out in the field. We've got women technicians, but it's typically they got to be able to pass a physical and be able to kind of keep up and down a ladder. So I'm not discriminating, but typically they've been between 20 and 30 year old males. So what do they hang out on? They hang out on TikTok. They hang out on Instagram and Facebook. So one of my buddies called me 6 months ago, Vanessa and her husband, Jody. Jody, his name's Joe, but he goes by Jody. And she's like, we're killing it for recruiting truck drivers. And I said, truck drivers are impossible right now. Like, there's so much going on with the pandemic and just truck shortages and just impossible to get truck drivers. And she's like, no, we figured it out. We've got this whole system. We post on social media. We do a video interview. I mean, it's absolutely lights out how well they do for recruiting. And I said, let's give it a shot. So they flew out here and my class have never been better. Just A players. I always say one A player equals three B players. And the reason I wanted their help was because we've got a whole training facility here. We've got our own apartment complex. People come here to train for a full month outside of their area. And I walked upstairs for my new training class and it was only 10 people. And I need like 20 to 30 a month to keep this engine going. I have 7 full-time trainers and 3 full-time recruiters now. And so I asked for their help and they've really got a nice system that the average person takes 40 days to onboard and hire somebody. We needed to cut it down to 10. And 10 is still too high for me, but 10 is actually getting results. And their company that they started is called rapidhirepro.com. They're doing a ton of stuff at home service, but very, very impressed with the way they're doing things. And then my buddy Al Levy with the 7 Power Contractor, he got me involved in manuals. So when someone comes on, they've got a whole thing that they're expected to go through and know and understand. And it shows what they're graded on, tattoo policies versus if your car breaks down, what happens. If you crack a tablet, like an iPad, how do you deal with that? All these things are discussed now. And the culmination of both of them and some other great managers have done just wonders for the business.
Nice. So you talked when we got started about how you made all the mistakes. Was one of them trying to do everything by yourself?
You know, believe it or not, I did do a lot by myself. And obviously one of the best books of all time is The E-Myth Revisited. People work in their business, not on their business. I'm the first one to ask for help. And there's things that I hate. I know Excel pretty well, but I don't want to live in a Excel sheet all day or a pivot table. I'm not very into the financing side of things, although we do have a financial quick check once a week that I'm heavily involved in. I did do a lot, but it was more out of a necessity. I started with no money. So the minute I got enough money after I made an org chart, I said, I hate this. And I circled it. And I said, this is the first person I'm hiring. This is what I hate. Number two, and I'm going to hire this one. So I've always hired for my deficiencies. I've got an assistant. She's time manager for me. She's also my organization factor, like keeping stuff straight, putting it in files, making sure it's easily obtainable. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm not anything close to Warren Buffett, but he talks about his assistant just as if without her, he'd be useless. And I've got a lot of those people around. Find out what you're really good at and focus on that and get better rather than trying to be well versed in everything. I think that's the best advice I could give just to that kind of work on the business versus in it is just really look to find out what you're great at and continue to get better at that. Because why would you want to be good at accounting if you're never going to live in accounting? You know, and I think that's the owner's biggest mistakes is they don't trust anybody. They literally want to open their own mail. I don't open up my own email. Like I've got people that open up my own email. I don't do a whole lot as much as I used to, but I'm still the driving force of growth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that that's awesome. So you're finding what's working for you and getting to focus your attention on the things that you are doing best. And I imagine that that's the main reason that you're successful. Where are you screwing up right now?
Oh, well, there's a lot of things. I'd say part of my worst thing right now is there's opportunities that find me left and right. And part of being an owner is you've got a little bit of the shiny light. So I definitely learned how to say no a little bit better, but there's still things I need to say no to. I thought I was a pretty good delegator, but there's certain things that I think are slipping. I'd say we're kind of right now we're retooling for more of the executive suite. And it's sometimes people that can bring you here can't bring you here. And it's tough. And I'm not good at firing people. I'm not good at having these conversations. So we're kind of reinventing ourselves, because you pass this $100 million plateau and it kind of turned into a valley for us, because we're in the midst of that right now of like, you can't be the same company you were with the growth. We grew 80% last year and we're going to grow over 100% this year. And it's a machine. And it takes really great leadership, great delegation, great culture, great communication, everything. But that might only get us to 300 million. And then we're going to have to retool again. So I think that sometimes people don't realize they'll get to like 5 million and then they'll say, man, this software doesn't work anymore like I want. And now I'm going to have to get new software. So I recommend using technology in a way that some people say, well, this'll get us by for a couple of months and or a couple of years. And I'm like, no, just go to that better one. So you won't have to try to switch during growth periods. People say you shouldn't grow more than 10% a year, but I don't think that is with technology, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
And it obviously is not working for you when you're growing 80 and then 100%.
There's challenges. Trust me. It's not healthy to grow that fast, but I welcome the challenge because I think we've got a good thing here. It's not that hard. It's residential garage doors. We're the largest singly owned garage door company now in North America. And we've done some pretty cool things for our employees with profit incentive program, like basically phantom equity. And all of us are rowing in the same direction. So it's a pretty cool little thing we got going on. And we think we're going to hopefully get into Canada and grow exponentially. We started this best practices program for other garage door companies. And we're hoping that some of them will want to partner with us because there's this crazy word that I'm going to share with you called arbitrage. And I could buy something for maybe 5 times profit, which is like EBITDA, which is profit. So if somebody's making $100,000 a year, I could buy them for $500,000. And I'm worth about $2 million the day I buy that company because I get about 20 times EBITDA. Actually, my buddy just sold his company, Gettle, and he did 21 times EBITDA, which is in the tune of $550 million. Pretty cool little payday.
Super exciting.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, Tommy, the people are ready for your difference-making tip, even though you've already given us a bunch. What do you got?
You know, here's the deal. Readers are leaders. You got someone that took the time to write an entire book. They put all their stuff into a book. I've got a lot of books. This is kind of funny. I haven't read through this yet, but it's hacks for TikTok. This is a great book called The Coaching Effect. It's a really, really great book. I've learned to read and read and read and read. And I got to tell you, it changes the chemistry of your brain, I think. And there's Audible. I've got, I think, about 1,200 books now on Audible. And I've not listened to every one of them because that'd be nuts, but I've listened to a lot of them and I listen to them pretty fast. But start talking to people and find out what books change people's lives. And, you know, you usually add up the 5 people closest to you, add up their incomes, divide it by 5, take the mean, and you'll find out that you're within 10 or 20% of that. Start changing the people you hang out with. You know, a lot of people, they hang out in this group of people. And sometimes they don't realize that it's a cage. It's holding them back. You know, I watched Morgan Freeman the other day. He was talking to Don Lemon. This was an older broadcast. And Don Lemon said something like, well, what happens when you can't get out of the ghetto or whatever? He goes, what? Morgan Freeman goes, well, there's buses that come all day, every day. Just take a bus out of there. What do you mean you're stuck? And I think a lot of people, sometimes they feel stuck. And when you start reading and you change your environment and you change who you're with, it's amazing what can happen. But it's all about belief. I know that was a long statement, but I think that that's a profound one, is reading and changing your surroundings will really, really help people get out of their cage.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on. Tommy, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they best engage with you?
Yeah, I wrote a book, The Home Service Millionaire. I talked about how I went from $50,000 in debt to, at the time, a $30 million company. And The Home Service Expert, I had Michael Gerber, Mark Winters, Gino Wickman, lots of cool people on there, all about business. And I'm starting up a new podcast called Ask Tommy. It's a lot of to do with people have questions about a lot of stuff. And I generally don't have all the answers, but I go out and get them. That's why people like to ask me questions, because I'll go get really good people to come on and kind of answer stuff. So that's probably the best way.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Tommy your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up a copy of The Home Service Millionaire, wherever you buy your books. Check out the Home Service Expert podcast and also check out the Ask Tommy podcast as well. Thanks again, Tommy.
Thank you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.